This program is part of Full Service Radio, an internet radio station and podcast network with over 32 weekly shows broadcasting from the lobby of the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. All of our hosts are Washington, D.C. locals, covering stuff like music, arts, culture, identity, politics, and so much more. Visit fullserviceradio.org for all of our programming and enjoy the show. Full Service Radio also supported and powered by Simplecast, the easiest way for podcast creators to distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Welcome to Window Seat on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, D.C. I am your host, Patrick James. With me is my co-host, Amari Francis. Amari, how are you doing these last few weeks?
It's been a while, right?
Yeah, it's been a little bit. Anything new going on in the world of Amari?
Everything's new. Everything new is going on. Every day is a new day, right?
And also with me is another co-host, Christopher Price. Chris, how's everything in your world?
It's really complex.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Or?
Yeah. I called a good friend this weekend, right?
Okay.
He told me he was on a breakup date.
Wow, that's awfully
weird. What's a breakup date?
If I had to venture a guess, I would say a breakup date would be the last date you go on somebody that you actually really like and regret breaking up with. But, you know, it's for the best for both parties.
You know why he knows that?
Why does he know that?
Because he was on a breakup date.
You broke up with your girl, James?
I did break up with Katie after 2 long years.
Oh, shit. What'd you do?
Nothing. Why is it automatically my fault?
Because you're a guy, man. It's always the guys. The guys fuck up. That's what it is. That's our role.
You know, sometimes you really like somebody, but there's just certain things that aren't going to change between either of you. And you just know that it's not a forever thing, and it's best to just cut it short right there.
Who decided that? She did it.
I did, actually.
Really?
For once in my life. And it sucks being on this end of it. I would much rather get broken up with. There's a lot of guilt that comes with breaking up with somebody.
Elaborate.
You just feel bad. You feel like you wasted her time. You feel like the last 2 years, like she could have been doing something else.
And so how did she feel?
She cried a lot for a couple days. But then eventually she came around to it and became a lot more mutual once she had time to think about it.
Okay.
So
I want to give this some context.
How long ago was that?
Let me give it just a little bit of context, because you have to keep in mind who you're dealing with, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what James did with Katie. He was a little bit more private with this relationship, but I know his last relationship, and they had fights over like the litter box, right? Mm-hmm. And James, instead of being an adult, correct me if I'm wrong, James, he took a squat in the litter box. And ask his girl to take it out for him.
Like a shit?
Look, that's okay. That's way out of context. That makes me sound crazy. I just wanted to, first, it wasn't a fight that led to that. I'm not denying that I shit in the litter box because it happened.
What was the goal? Like, why? What was
my whole thing was she scooped the litter boxes. So I was just curious if she would notice one day if all of a sudden there was a huge shit in there that was clearly not from any of our cats. And she didn't. She didn't notice at all. I was talking to her, waiting. I had my phone out. I was going to record it so I could laugh about it. I saw her scoop my shit up and just put it in the bag with the rest and keep going. And she did not miss a beat on it.
Did she know it was your shit?
No. She totally missed it. She totally ignored it.
As a friend, right? I see Katie, she's a very pretty girl, normal looking, dealing with Patrick all the time. And she seems like she's enjoying herself. They're going to they're inviting me to the house to watch Alabama games. All this stuff is happening. And I'm rooting for her because I know what she's dealing with. Everyone in his life knows what she's dealing with.
Well, maybe that's subconsciously why you broke up with her. Like, you were afraid that it would work.
No, I don't think that's it.
It's
just there's certain things. We just dealt with things different. And it wouldn't be conducive for a relationship that's supposed to last forever. Like, she's very independent in a relationship, but I'm very... If I'm in a relationship, it's a partnership. You should do things together, but she's very independent about being in a relationship. Mm. So, like, for example, when we would have fights, I want to sit there and finish the fight, but she would rather just leave the house and give things time to simmer down. Mm. I'm not using that time to simmer down. I'm using it to think of the shit I'm going to say to her as soon as she comes back. So instead of something that could have just taken 30 minutes, I'm sitting on it for 4 hours. She comes back, and then it's just right back where it was at anyway.
So do you think you were in love?
Yeah, I would say I was in love.
I think love is a lot bigger than saying, I just can't do this anymore. Like,
I mean,
this to me.
We're still going to stay friends and whatnot.
I guess. But you can love her as a friend.
But it just wasn't going to work out.
Well, you're a big guy, man. I think it takes a lot, like self-awareness and shit. Cause
look, we talked last week about your son and courage.
Yeah.
And I was like, Omari would want me to break up with Katie right now. I sat there and said, what would Omari do? He would say, read the poem, break up with her, crush her spirits right in front of you, and then go play video games for a little bit.
Well, then I'm
and
proud
then
of
cry
you.
Later when you're alone.
Congratulations.
I still don't get it, though. I'm curious what was going on in your mind. Like, just
that it was just time. It was just time to take the leap of faith and just say, you know, you could deal with a relationship where you're happy, but you're not as happy as you could be. Or you could just go deal with the fear of being alone for a bit and hopefully land somebody who makes you even happier. And that's the route I chose.
Be fearless.
Exactly.
That's a new approach for me seeing James say something like that.
And that came from Katie. I'm not saying there wasn't anything good. We both grew as people from knowing each other, but I think that's about as far as we were going to grow as a couple.
Hmm. That's some powerful shit. I wasn't expecting all this today.
I told you I was bringing the fire today, Chris.
Very impressive.
I'd also like to give a quick shout out, Roll Tide, national shit. Champions.
I knew he was going to sneak that in there.
5 years out of the last nine. Roll Tide.
Well, if all you get is NFL players, I think you're going to beat all the college players. It's going to happen. But speaking of fire, I think we got a couple of guests today that, like to sure. Light it up every once in a while.
That's what we're going to do?
He's going to jump right in. All right. Also joining us today are Taj and Haseeb from Grass & Co. here in Adams Morgan, who are coming up on their 6-month anniversary, I believe, in 11 days.
Yes, you're right.
That was.
I did some research. I did
pretty on point.
6 months and 11 days.
Wow. Are we at 6 months and
11
days?
It'll be 6 months and 11 days. Yeah, it should be. Oh, July 29th was the grand opening.
Yes. Okay. Wow. So I guess he knows better than we do how long we've been open, but 100%, 6 months and 11 days. That is exactly what it's going to be.
Right. So we're going to come back, guys. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and learn more about your shop, what you guys do.
Sounds good.
All right.
Break music today by Keto. This one's called Ruby's Butterfly. We're coming right back on Window Seat. Keep it locked.
Welcome back to Window Seat. Joining us today, we have two guests from Grass & Co.
Haseeb.
Taj.
And tell us a little bit about Grass & Co.
Grass & Co. is a CBD specialty store. So our biggest thing is CBD. Are you familiar at all with CBD?
I am not.
Okay, so CBD is the medicinal part of the cannabis plant. There's no psychoactive effects, but studies have shown it to be phenomenal for a bunch of medical things such as anxiety, epilepsy. I mean, it just has phenomenal effects. Taji is going to explain more.
Yeah, so CBD is like one of those parts of cannabis that when people say, you know, like cannabis is a medicinal thing, specifically what they're talking about is CBD or cannabidiol in cannabis. So if any of you guys, you know, enjoy, you know, sparking one up occasionally, the compound that we all know and love is THC. You know, it's the part that gives you kind of an altered mind state. So it is inebriating you. That would be an analogous to, like, you know, getting a drink. Now, CBD, which is in cannabis, which is giving you like the body high or the medicinal effects, if you were just to isolate that and take it, you know, solely by itself, it's not going to give you an altered mind state. It's more going to be like, we like to call it nature's Tylenol. So it's super anti-inflammatory. So for things like, you know, sports injuries or inflammation, arthritis, works amazing for that. It's great as, you know, for anti-anxiety. One of the things it does is it, like, you know, slows down like your heart rate a little bit. It will slow down the reuptake of cortisol, which is like the stress hormone in your body. So it helps with, you know, that kind of thing. They use it for children that have epilepsy. And they're finding, you know, more and more applications for it. And one of the biggest applications nowadays in the opioid crisis is converting people from traditional opioids like, you know, Oxy and those kind of things to the pain relieving therapy of CBD, because it can do, you know, almost similar things that some of the strongest, you know, opioids we use today do. And outside of that, Grass & Co. is also like a super, like health and wellness focused brand. So that doesn't mean that we're a cannabis brand, but because cannabis is good for health and wellness, you know, that is one of the things we focus on. You know, whether it's like organics, you know, we have topicals that we sell. We sell CBD dabs and wax for, you know, like our dab consumer base. And then we also have, you know, different smokables, different smoke shop accessories, because we feel like that's a very normalized part of people's lives today, that, you know, people need somewhere to get their R&R in, and these are the things that they need for their R&R.
Now, this shop has been open for 6 months, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But y'all have other shops or different locations that y'all have been working on?
Grass & Co. is only one shop currently. We're looking to expand more, but Grass & Co. right now is just one shop.
Okay, because I asked that question because the laws are the first thing that I think about.
Of course.
Does it get you fucked up is the first thing I think about.
No.
Like, yeah. I want to know, like, is it, I'm a young guy, so I don't have too many health issues. I'm trying to get high.
It's, we took a CBD dab the other day, and it is the most positive thing ever. Like, think about, it's just positivity, bro.
Like, a lot of, like, what CBD will do for you if you're not using it, like, on a medicinal basis is more for, like, things like putting you into flow state or clarity. So, like, one of the things that, like, CBD is used for is, like, anti-anxiety. Well, if you don't have anxiety, you're still going to get those same effects, but that means you're going to be above baseline. So you are going to be altered in a different way. It's more going to be, like, you know, a euphoria, or it's going to be, like, you know, you're going to not feel the presence of, you know, like, the negative physical symptoms you might feel from being nervous in your day-to-day. You know, maybe something bad happens during your day and suddenly you have an upset stomach, you lose your appetite. Those kind of things won't happen if you regularly use CBD, because CBD literally prevents your body from, you know, allowing those things to happen. Yeah. So, like, for a guy like you, you know, you're at a radio show and, you know, you're a little nervous before your first show.
Definitely.
CBD. That's what you'd use it for. You know, you could smoke a joint and get similar effects, but if you smoke a joint before, you know, you might be a little too altered. You know, you might be, you know, you are inebriated technically. With CBD, that's not what it is. You know, you're getting those positive effects that you need, you know, those, like, put you into flow state type effects without having to burn one.
And we do love the cannabis plant. For we sure. just want to clarify
we
that.
Do, we do.
We love it.
That's what I was getting at. I yes. was wondering, where are you going with this? Because you are on the front end of a market that can potentially bring you a lot of money.
Yes. Sure, but to us, it's a cliche, right? It's never been about the money. It's definitely about the money, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's more feeling that doing business can also be a positive net effect, right? So it's not just the cannabis plant we want to focus on. We want to provide accessories to people. We want to provide healthier papers and vapes and stuff like that. But it's much more about being positioned as someone who's meeting their consumers' needs rather than pushing something onto people. We think THC is amazing. We think weed is amazing. And one day when the laws are fine with that, we will carry it. But right now, the most pressing consumer need is the allowing of the cannabis plant to solve things. There's so many things medicinal needs.
Essentially.
And there's a Forbes survey that mm-hmm. we have quoted in our store that says 50% of people who start to take CBD stop taking traditional meds. 50%, 1 in 2. That is what CBD, the hemp plant, and plants in general can do for us.
So it doesn't carry the same stigma, a THC?
No, it does not carry the same stigma because all of... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm curious how is the community? Like, what have you felt from people walking by your store? Are they happy you're here or, like...
So, like, with CBD, like, one of the biggest things you'll find is, like, people that would have never smoked and still might never smoke weed in their life mm-hmm. will very willingly and actively even use CBD, especially because, like, what you'll find is, like, in a neighborhood like this, an older neighborhood, you're going to find older people. And for that clientele and that market base specifically, one of their biggest things is wellness products. You know, regardless of whether we were here or not, you know, they... Like a lot of the older clientele in this area find things that can help relieve their pain, help them live, you know, a healthier life in their day to day, because, you know, years of wear and tear will do that to all, you know, human bodies. And CBD like allows them to find natural supplements that actually work. You know, a lot of the natural supplements we get, we don't have like effects that we can feel in the moment. They're like things you have to take over time, you know, regularly use, and then you'll reap the benefits, you know, from it eventually. But like pain management is like that market, you know, spot segment that we see these older customers and a lot of the neighborhood regulars come in for. So if anything, I think like the neighborhood is happy that we're here and that instead of focusing on, you know, the recreational aspect of cannabis, we've decided to take, you know, a focus on the medicinal, you know, aspect of cannabis and focus on CBD because that is like, you know, a need that's not being met. Like the gray market in DC has provided a huge space for like cannabis and like marijuana and THC. But because a lot of that attention and focus has been shifted over there, like we're one of the few people that are focusing on CBD specifically in the area for medicinal needs. A lot of these other shops, you know, are specifically focused on consuming cannabis or consuming THC.
So I'm sorry, can we rewind a little bit and you guys give us a little bit about your history, where you're from,
sure.
and how you made it to this point?
Okay. So our prior thing was a biotech company that
you worked for the company or you own the company?
It was a startup.
Okay.
It was a startup in biotech.
Where are you guys from?
I'm from Pakistan.
Uh-huh.
I'm from Bangladesh.
Okay.
Yeah, so in that India area.
So is this something you brought, like you learned in your country and then you brought it, like the knowledge about marijuana CBD?
No, we were both raised in Howard County, yeah. Maryland.
Do your parents know what you do right now?
Yeah, of course.
CBD is like something that both of us definitely give to our parents because okay. like at both of our parents' age and probably all of our parents' age, it's like something that they could use regularly and would use.
Do they?
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's like now, like the household.
Would they be happy to know that you guys are broadcasting that they smoke weed on that?
CBD isn't weed. CBD is not weed. CBD it comes in syringes, single serve syringes, and you just take
oil
them
bottles. Like they, oil. You take it as oil.
Well, you can put make THC oil.
Yeah, so they have. Yes, so like CBD is
THC
is
oil weed.
Neither of them are really weed anymore. They're like a cannabis byproduct. So like for example, like. When you make brownies, like pop brownies,
yes.
So that's not weed anymore, right? But it's a weed byproduct.
I like the pot banana pudding, personally.
Pot banana pudding. That sounds good. I have never had that. That sounds really good.
Yeah, it was.
But you should try the gummy candies, the CBD gummies.
CBD gummies
are really good. They're super strong. They're super strong. So they do have a super intense CBD effect. Sorry, I'm getting a little off track, but back to your last question.
The biotech company.
Sorry. So, one of the things that like our journey has fully been focused on is like rehabilitation and pain management in like the human body. So what we started off with was a device called the TDCS device. So, just for context, I studied bioengineering at the University of Maryland, and he studied business and politics at the University of Boston. So
Boston College,
not University of Boston. Yikes! But go Terps, I guess. So we kind of started specifically, you know, with my background in bioengineering, and it was a device that would use like electrical stimulation through your scalp to help with things like stroke rehab. Like one of the things we had a pilot clinic out in Pakistan, and what we were trying to do is create brain imaging as well as brain stimulation at a very low cost, so that way in areas that don't have access to, like, you know, MRIs or CT scans, and they can't get imaging, you know, on things that on brain trauma or that or stroke patients, can we find a cheaper alternative to, you know, do that in those areas as well as treat those kinds of things as well. And so in doing that, you know, we worked with a couple of nonprofits, Doctors Without Borders, and we set up a pilot clinic out in Pakistan where we were treating about 100 patients a day, and specifically treating them, one, either in imaging. So like if someone had a stroke in the village, we could actually confirm or deny that, or recommend them for further screening by using this device that would sit on their head, send electricity through their scalp. You don't feel it. It's not like shocking your brain. But, and you know, after they do a couple of measurements, what they can do is get an image of what, like a very low quality image, but better than what you would have had access to anyway, and get an, you know, idea of what's going on in your brain. And then one of the other things we developed is for stroke patients, you know, post rehabilitation, we could electrically stimulate the non-active area of their brain, and, you know, help reduce the recovery time.
You two did all of that?
So that was our, yes, background. So that's what we started off as. Yeah,
but you just, not the two of you.
No,
guys.
No, no. We had a team.
Okay.
So it was our startup. Like, we were the founders of it. And
developed the device,
developed
managed the clinic,
the device, and managed.
And then
everything.
You sold it and made millions.
So
no,
we did not.
No.
We did not sell it. It's a nonprofit, so it was one of those things that, like, we weren't in it to make money for. It was more like, you know, we had this idea and we had to test it. And unfortunately, the state of the current pharmaceutical industry is such that even if you have a good idea, if it's going to make too much money, you're probably not going to get it passed. But luckily in the nonprofit world, that's not an issue.
Yes, but the issue is that pharmaceutical companies are constantly against you.
Yeah.
Because it's not even them. It's more like it's just the situation to scale something medically cost effective in a developing country is you need a lot of capital.
Yeah. And if the pharmaceutical companies are against you, the government is also against you.
Yes, exactly.
So like as nonprofits, you know, like even in our operating, we were like pretty limited. Like, you know, the second it starts to cut into like pockets and stuff, it gets into a sticky situation. But over here as a health and wellness brand, you know, we're a lot better situated to take, you know, the original idea of what we wanted to do in, you know, helping people medically, and do that through retail. You know, retail is one
through
of the
CBD.
Best. CBD, yeah. And that's one of the best ways to reach people, for sure.
Sounds good.
So I know you had some pop-up stands before this, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
You went through that, and then you eventually got the money to make the to buy the actual property.
So essentially the pop-ups, those were actually a marketing campaign done by us before we opened, kind of to like gauge the desires of our customer base by holding events for them where we could see the products that they were interested in, the things that they asked for. And by doing that for a couple of months, you know, we became the first smoke shop to do market testing, you know, on this new consumer base of cannabis smokers and just young people, or, you know, a whole, you know, age range of people that want to be healthier and better in their wellness.
Yeah, like focus. We had the spot before mm-hmm. we were doing events.
Yeah.
And okay. then while we were building the shop, we were doing events.
So like lean.
Just to, you know, lean. You gotta stay lean. Smart. You gotta
startup, I guess.
Gotta get people in the door, you know.
So I was hoping you could clarify, for legal purposes, CBD falls under the same as medicinal marijuana, or is it its own separate?
CBD is derived from hemp plants that are specifically bred to not contain any THC, less than 0.3% specifically.
Completely legal.
100%.
It's completely legal.
In 38 states.
Federally, it's Schedule 1, but they've never enforced it, and it's okay to import under the farm bill, meaning it's being imported and it's being made into CBD, and
they've got a certain grade, you know, of hemp that you can use for this kind of stuff. But you start to get into issues, especially when it's like derived from the marijuana plant as opposed to the hemp plant. So that's kind of where the legality issue is. You know, as a startup, it's impossible for us to focus on being a startup while we're always worried about things like the gray area. Like, we appreciate the gray area for, you know, what it does to the culture here, but as a business, like, we don't mess with that. You know, we're specifically like, you know, like, we make sure all of our CBD is hemp sourced.
Our core business isn't going to be gray area, but we do enjoy the gray area.
The culture of it's a lot of fun.
The gray area's got to be awesome for promotion, right?
Yes.
100%.
If I'm out of my car selling headbands and I give you a bag of weed with it, everyone's gonna know about my headband shop.
Sure.
Yes. Yeah. So, but then like they did to Kush Gods, they're Kush gonna Gods. Come and, you know,
stop. So Kush Gods were like the first. So like, again, I mean, if you guys want to have a discussion about the gray area, that's also a fun one that we can help you guys with.
No, it has to be. Because I don't understand the difference between, like, if you come to my shop and you buy a piece of gum,
you
give me money, I give you gum, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
If with the gray area now, if you give me money, I give you gum, and I'm giving you weed, if you know you're getting weed, I maybe can say I gifted you the weed, but you knew what you were getting in return for the money 100%. That you were giving me, right? So then you technically sell me the weed?
So for businesses, there are two answers. One is if you're really in the community and you want the nicest sounding answer, but that's not the nicest sounding answer is that, it's gifting. It's a gray area. But the true answer that, like, you know, if you were to deal with, you know, the city council, if you were to deal with the different boards over here, is like gifting is like the exchange of one item of value for another item of value. Like, we call it gifting. And yes, it's a gray area in certain places like events and that kind of thing, like the whole farmer's market setup. Mm-hmm. But in a storefront, like, gifting is, you know, like specifically the exchange of one item of value for another. Now, as a part of, you know, the cannabis community, like, it's definitely, you know, up to businesses to decide how they want to enforce that and, you know, like how they want to be about it. Like, the biggest rule in DC here is, like, you know, don't be an idiot about anything you do and don't piss off, you know, the local neighborhood. You know, really, in DC is one of these few places where everything is about the neighborhood you're in. You know, like, one neighborhood is a completely different city. Like, the culture, you know, the way people act, the things people frown upon are completely different. You know, Adams Morgan, gifting flies here. Why? Because Adams Morgan is the green light district of DC. You know, people come to Adams Morgan from out of state as tourists specifically for two things: the restaurants and the weed. And that's like what Adams Morgan will probably be known for here on out, you know, in DC.
It's definitely funny because you can walk in one shop and ask for a gift and get a gift.
Yeah.
And then you can walk into another shop and ask for a gift and get looked at like you're like, a fucking asshole.
Yeah, because not everyone can do gifting. And you know, they're like, I think like people are super dramatic on the issue too, which is like we choose not to do it because like we're a startup, you know, that like wants to like answer all of our consumers' needs in like the most legal way possible. Mm-hmm. And then like the people who don't do it also like, you know, are overly paranoid about what the scene is like here. Like it's super lax. It's super cool. One of the things that like everyone in the community that deals with this stuff tries to enforce is like the 21 plus rule and like the weight restrictions.
Right. You get carded when you walk in. Yeah. Almost every shop.
Every single shop, every single event as well. So like with the events, you know, there's a lot of events that happen throughout the city, you know, a lot of fun ones. If you're going to go to one, you know, there's a really good one called the Stone Squirrel that happens on 18th Street.
At the Black Squirrel, the Black from 7 Squirrel, to 11 every 7 Thursday.
7 to 11 every Thursday. So that's like a pretty awesome event to go to. And it's more like a farmer's market. And that's kind of what these events are like. Some of these events, you'll see like a more farmer's market style where you'll see things from like concentrates, flour, edibles, drinks, and different vendors that cater to different things. And other events are more like weed bazaars where like you just have like 30 vendors with like all the same product, and you either go to your favorite one, or maybe some of them have better quality. Some of them might do something unique with like their pre-rolls, like they might roll you a blunt as opposed to a joint. But I think
the market's becoming commoditized.
100%. Right? Yeah.
That's like what the gray area's done.
Yeah.
Sounds like you guys found a way to beat the system.
No, we don't gift.
No, I know you don't gift, but you sell a type of weed where you don't have to. Well, not type of weed. I'm sorry. You sell CBD.
Yeah.
Yes. You don't have to gift it.
So a byproduct of hemp because we found a market gap that made sense. So yeah. It's not playing the law. We're just...
No, you're not playing the law. You outsmarted the law. I applaud you.
Sometimes I think, you know, politicians and stuff in like business, like politicians like specifically make these laws for businesses like us to operate in. Like they're not everyone like makes the laws for like us to find a loophole. Sometimes like the I-71 law was specifically created with this kind of economy in mind. Like the people who, you know, came up with this, I don't think they were like, oh, this is not going to happen. I think they specifically knew this is exactly what was going to happen. And a lot of times this might be the first, you know, steps or the lead-in steps to like full legalizations.
I kind of don't disagree there because so the law allows you to gift. The law allows you to have it on you and to grow in your house.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
I don't think that they thought shops would be out here essentially selling. I know you don't, but shops are out here essentially.
Sure. They probably did not think it would be 10 big businesses' core business to gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's the issue.
They probably thought
core business.
It was going to be like, you know, 50th customer gets an eighth. Yeah. You know, right. Not like everyone come in here and get
come here and get your weed.
Yeah. So that's not. That's like that one of the things, like, when we came into DC to do business here, like, there wasn't a lot of information on the law because not a lot of people were like talking about it that much. Everyone kind of knew it was legal here. No one knew the details, but you know, like when we looked it up and stuff, we were like, oh, that's really cool. Because like we were thinking of it in the sense of like 50th customer gets an eighth. Mm-hmm. And now it's definitely like, you know, almost every smoke shop in DC you go to, like most of them, you know, they have something like where you buy like, I don't know, like a dube tube or
right,
like
which is good,
papers.
Right?
Yeah, that's
which is
cool.
Good because it opens up the economy more for weed. It brings prices low. It makes it more normalized. Like, it's an amazing industry. It's good.
Cheap eighths. That is the good thing. Yeah,
I'm curious how many people, not necessarily how many, but you have to be comfortable at some level with people's ailments, right? Because someone can come in there for, they just know they don't trust, you know, the medicine world. They'd rather try a natural remedy.
Right.
So you, I imagine, get a bunch of questions about this and that ailment and what should I take. How do you approach that? Like, if I have my grandmother, she recently passed of cancer. I know I would prefer, my girl would prefer, everyone young in my family would prefer her to, you know, go take, you know, go smoke a joint so you can eat. She doesn't want to eat. So right. We have to pass her insure. How comfortable are you when someone comes and says, I have this going on?
Okay, so with specific ailments, because the FDA does not see a CBD, Grass & Co. can't make medical claims, right?
Right.
But once that's out the way, what we do is we can kind of see from third-party things we've seen that a specific symptom or a specific disease is helped by CBD, and we can pass that information on without making a medical claim, right? So if someone comes in and asks, I have anxiety, there's a great paper on how CBD helps anxiety. I can tell you about that, but I can't say, oh, here, take some CBD and make your anxiety go away, you know?
So yeah, it's like access of information is like what we essentially do when it comes to customers. Like, we give them all the right places to do research, because like, we're not doctors able to prescribe you CBD and be like, listen, you need to take CBD for this, because like, the effects are still subjective, and you know,
but there are a lot of doctors that are prescribing CBD.
Yeah. We so specifically can't, you know, we're Grass & Co., but we will provide it to you, and we will point you in the right directions to do research. Or if your doctors recommend it to you, you know, we can clarify, you know, the things that they might have recommended, show you which products specifically would help you.
So I want to back up for a moment, because we're here in part because Amila, Adams Morgan Youth Leadership Academy, allowed us to be here, right? So I think it took some balls at some level to go from working, you know, with biotech to jumping into this new business. How, like, tell me about that. How did that happen? Like, just the transition specifically.
Yeah. So, like, outside of, like, you know, being a cannabis business, you know, just as entrepreneurs and businessmen ourselves, like, both of us are, you know, like, people who, you know, decided, like, to do something, like, while we were still relatively young, you know, for, you know, like Amila, you know, specifically focuses on youth leadership. And one of the biggest things that, like, is necessary is, like, to be active, like, to keep doing, you know, even if it doesn't seem like it's something that's going to work out. You know, a lot of people get disappointed in the short term. So, like, with biotech, a lot of, like, our shortcomings, you know, were, like, barrier of entry problems. Like, to get into anything pharmaceutical, you need a ton of money. And, you know, for a lot of the startups that, like we were growing up with, so to say, you know, like, to, you know, we had a couple of startups that we would watch, you know, grow as we were growing as well. And a lot of them would give up or, you know, scrap the startup altogether when different problems came in. And it's never about, like, scrapping, you know, your past opportunity. It's about how can you do something new to solve the issues you had back then. And so that transition was specifically that. Like, how can we do something new to solve the issues to entry in biotech? And this is, you know, the first step to our solution. Like, we've still got a long way to go. Like, you guys are catching us at, like, the inception, the physical birth, like, 6 months old of our startup, you know? Like, a lot of the things, you know, we say right now, if you interviewed us a year from now, might not be the same things that we say, because, you know, we might have come up to some problems and decided, you know, there's another way to solve it. And you know, those other things we did, you know, we would never give up on them or sell them, because we do plan on returning one day. You know, like, that nonprofit side is very dear to us. You know, like, we want to go back and work on things that can, you know, make, like, medicine in the developing world, in the entire world, you know, easier to access and better for people.
So 10 years from now, the laws have changed in, let's say, all 50 states.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
What does Grass & Co. look like?
Grass & Co.'s future is going to depend on our consumers' needs. So if no one is doing quality medical cannabis, or we think we can do quality medical cannabis better, we may have a rack of canned cannabis. That's fine.
So that's why what I liked about you guys the moment I met you. I felt like there was passion behind what you were doing. And I felt like you could sell it to anyone because it was genuine. It wasn't just to make money.
Of course, I have to answer 100 questions in my head every day about why I'm doing what I'm doing. And he goes through the same thing.
So you're trying to beat yourself, essentially.
I'm trying to be answerable to myself. That's why we didn't want to scale the biotech company up too fast, because we thought it would kill the essence of it. We're trying to preserve the essence of everything while growing organically. We're not trying to take a shortcut and become a billion-dollar company. No, we're trying to preserve the essence of our souls.
Yeah. I'm impressed. I'm thoroughly impressed.
Thank you.
But for somebody like me who just smokes weed for the enjoyment of it, and how do I learn, like, if I get sick, if I have anxiety, or if I have a serious ailment minor, like I wanted to feel better before I came on the radio today, how would I know that I need to go to Grass & Co?
What do you mean? How?
Well,
would you know?
First, how would I do? I learn that CBD is the way to go, and then how do I find you guys to get it?
We're at 1730 Columbia Road in Adams Morgan. Right. If you search us up online, you're going to get our hours and everything. And anytime you stop by, we have these great single serve syringes. Right. Mm-hmm. And the best thing about those is they remove the barrier to entry. Because CBD is expensive, we wanted to get a packaging that was smaller. And so now a lot of the community that did not know about CBD, people who we were telling over and over, once they tried it, it clicked. You really have to try it.
I want to back up to the last question you just answered. Where does that come from, right? Because to me, this culture screams money, money, money. And what I like is that you're actually active, right? You're not just stuck in the idea phase. You're doing something.
This
what
culture,
is it like,
yeah.
I guess, growing up in your household, where you say, I want to make sure it aligns with my values still, and still be in a environment that, you know, I don't know the percentage, but half of the population might say, oh, those guys are just drug dealers. Mm. Like,
of course. Yeah. No, I get that completely. I mean, It's more about just being completely honest. There are some things America does much better mm-hmm. than everyone else, and there are some things America and capitalism do not provide. I am a fervent capitalist, mm-hmm. but I think the money needs to be replaced with passion and emotion. Money is nice.
Mm-hmm.
No one's mad at money. You're not going to be like, oh no, I got money, but It's about knowing that money is just something to show how much you've done, and it's not gonna go anywhere. So you might, I mean, it's just, we're living life.
All right. So my next thing is, I remember maybe 10 years ago, one of my favorite artists, Nas, was on TV, and he was riding in the back of a car. Let's say, hopefully, it was a limo, and he got a call from Hennessy. And he says, Hennessy wants me to sell alcohol. And he kind of like cuts at his neck. Like, I'm not the person that's going to be selling this to my community.
Right.
10 years later, he has a child with Khalees, and now he's selling Hennessy. How do you check? What check do you run against yourself to make sure you don't change?
It's like I think it's about being extremely aware of the shifts humans go through psychologically through the rest of their life. Like, I know I'm going to go through a midlife crisis, right?
Okay.
I might as well start knowing that I will. It's about being self-aware, extremely self-aware, and just feeling like you're not.
I think
a tough question.
You know,
to answer.
That's like
tough question.
Like a really good question. Honestly, I'm gonna tell you, like, you know, at my age, I don't think, like, me and him are both the same age, but I don't think either of us have like the full answer to that. I can tell you, like, one of the things that, like, so he has been doing business for a lot longer than I have, and I kind of joined him. We grew up as childhood best friends, did a lot of, you know,
y'all got great best friends
in high school and middle school, but we've been, you know, dicing it up for a while. And one of the biggest things is like having, you know, someone to keep you accountable, you know, outside of your mind itself. Like, especially in business, you know, business, like, money makes you super like greedy and super self-interested. And like, we have to ask, like, we ask ourselves a lot of questions, and then, like, you know, we also ask each other, you know, the same questions, you know, all the time. Like, whenever we're getting into something, like, we might be foolish for this, but we always slow ourselves down a little bit to think about the ethics of it. You know, like, all business majors will go through a class called business ethics, which everyone gets an A on and no one studies for. And that's why we have the problems in capitalism that we do today, because ethics isn't something anyone takes seriously. You know, like, in these fields, you know, you take one business ethics class and suddenly 10 years down the line, you're the CEO of a Fortune 500 company and your only, like, review of performance is a number-based review. And for us, like, review of performance is, like, qualitative. Like, quantitative is, appeals to the capitalist side. But when someone comes in, you know, talking about, like, CBD is the best thing I ever used, then, like, a part of me is satisfied that, like, what I started off with is still there.
Part of the thing I think is a little ridiculous in Washington, D.C. is the requirement for if you want to sell weed. Like, if I wanted to sell weed, I think...
Right.
What I heard last was I had to have $1 million net worth or something ridiculous like that.
Barrier to entry is tough.
The barrier to entry is extremely high in marijuana. The barrier to entry is extremely high. I mean, you really have to. We don't like it, but I think eventually it's the market and governments establish themselves as being good on pricing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Window Seat.
Damn, I wanted to know if I pee
my fire. Welcome back to Window Seat. I just wanted to take the time to thank our guests, Taj and Haseeb, here. And,
thank you for having us.
And also, if you want to give a quick shout out to how people can reach you online or where the business is located.
Sure. You can find us on Instagram at Grass and Company, and the same on Facebook. And that's where we put all of our updates. And then the store is located right down the street from the line at 1730 Columbia Road in Adams Morgan. So feel free to swing by and we'll always be there to answer your questions.
All right. Well, thank you for talking to us on air today. I was your host, Patrick, and Omari and Chris.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts, covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.